All right, now.
Says the Gemara, we're on Daf Tes Vav on the base, the two dots. Karav leidikdek ba'isiyaseha. Now this is referring back to the Mishnah. Have a look at the Mishnah on Daf Tes Vav on the Aleph. On Daf Tes Vav on the Aleph.
I'm sorry, how far down the page are we?
Have a look first at the Mishnah on Daf Tes Vav on the Aleph. Mishnah said, the first halacha in the Mishnah was the halacha we discussed at length last week. If you're Kiriya Shema and you cannot hear what you're saying, a machlokes between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yosi, you are not Yotze. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you are Yotze. A big discussion about whether that's lechatchila or b'diavad, but certainly you are Yotze. The second halacha was, kara v'loy dikdek ba'osi yisehol. Here we find that Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda once again are having a machlokes, but this time round Rabbi Yosi is the makel. First time round Rabbi Yosi was the machmer, but now he's the makel, and he tells us if you are Kohen, you are not medaktik. What does that mean? You are not medaktik. You didn't enunciate the words clearly. Obviously, you said the words. If you didn't say the words, then we're back to the previous case of not being audible. So you said it and it was audible, you just didn't say it clearly, you didn't enunciate the words clearly. So Rabbi Yosi says you are Yotze, and Rabbi Yehuda says you're not Yotze. So again, it's Rabbi Yosi versus Rabbi Yehuda, but the tables have been turned. Rabbi Yosi is now the Mekel and Rabbi Yehuda is the Machmir. So we turn over the page, about 15 lines from the bottom. The first word on the line is Yoshia. About 15 lines from the bottom. The first word on the line is Yoshia, Yud Aleph Shin Yud Hey. And in the middle of that, actually goes to, sorry, one line above that, Yisrael. The first word on the line is Yisrael. And you'll see in the middle of that line, it says, Korav Loi Dik Dik B'Yosiyoseh. Everyone has it? It's about 15 lines from the bottom of the page. If you want an exact count, it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 18 lines, actually. Unless you want a recount, take it to the courts.
In Yamina Dayoma, right?
Right. So it's about 18 lines from the bottom. The first word on the line is Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Kara v'lay diktek ba'isi yaseha. That is a quote from this Mishnah. A quote from this Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Tavi, Omer Rav Yashia. Rav Tavi says, in the name of Rav Yashia, Halacha kedivrei shnehem lehokel. The halacha in both of these two machlokes, and we've mentioned now in the Mishnah two separate discussions. One discussion with regard to reading, saying, Kriya Shema v'loi hishmiya l'oznoi, where Rav Yosi was the machmir. The second question is, Kara v'loi dikdek ba'isi oiseha, when Rabbi Yosi was the makel. So we're hearing now a chiddush in the name of Rabbi Yashia, that halacha kedivrei shnehem lahokel. The halacha is in both cases the lenient opinion. So what does that mean, the lenient opinion? Who is that? Is that Rabbi Yosi or Rabbi Yehuda? And the answer is, in the first case, we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that if you say Kriya Shema in a manner that it's not audible, you are Yotze. And in the second case, we'll paskin like Rabbi Yosi, which is that if you said Kriya Shema and you're not medaktik, but Yosi Yoseha, then you will also be Yotze, which means in both cases, we always adopt the lenient opinion. Now, half of that statement was known to us already. Which half? Because we saw at the end of last week, with regard to the first machlokes, if it's not audible, Rabbi Yosi versus Rabbi Yehuda. So we already saw, the Gemara tells us that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So we already knew that in the first machlokes, we adopt the lenient opinion. What Rav Yashi has now been machadish to us is that in fact, we adopt the lenient opinion in both cases, not only in case number one, but also in case number two, which means halacha lemaisa, that if you said Kriya Shema, you said the words, but they were not clearly enunciated, b'dieved at least you are yetze, says Rashi. Halacha kedivrei shnehem lahokel. What does that mean? Halacha on the one hand, says Rashi, kurab Yehuda, deloi boi shmia. We will paskin on the one hand, like Rabbi Yehuda, that you do not require shmia, which means that what? Even if you said Shema in a manner that it is not audible, you are nonetheless yoytze. That's with regard to machlekas number one. With regard to machlekas number two, v'halocha k'rabbi yoysi d'loi bo'i dikduk. Halocha is like Rabbi Yoysi, that you do not need absolute precision, meaning even if you said Kriya Shema not in such a precise manner, you didn't clearly enunciate the words, nonetheless, you are still yotze. So in both machleksim, we are paskening lohokel, we are adopting the lenient opinion. Says the Gemara Vaita, V'omar Rav Tovi, Omar Rav Yashia. Why does it say V'omar with a Vav? Because this is now a second statement in the name of Rav Tovi, in the name of Rav Yashia. The first one was that we paskin in both machleksim lahokel. Second statement, V'omar Rav Tovi, Omar Rav Yashia. My deksiv. What is this posuk that it is written in Mishle and it says, Shalosh heino loy tishbano, sho'el v'oitzer rechem. Very difficult words. V'chima inyan sho'el eitzel rechem. Now a sho'el, what is a sho'el? Rashi says that sho'el is a kever, a womb. That's a rechem. A sho'el is a grave. A sho'el is the kever, and the rechem is the womb. So what is the comparison between a womb and a grave? Because the pasuk seems to be comparing both by mentioning them in the same sentence. It says, sho'el v'oitzer rechem. V'chimai in sho'el eitzel rechem. What on earth is the connection between a grave and the womb? Says the Gemara, elo loimar lecha. It is to teach you as follows. Ma rechem machnis umoitzi, af sho'el machnis umoitzi. The common denominator between the sho'el, the grave, and the rechem is they are both machnis and moitzi. What does that mean? Both of them bring things in, both of them bring things out. Now let's go slowly. Have a look at Rashi. Sho'el v'oitzer rechem, posuku, v'sefer mishle, sholei shena v'yisishvana, etc., etc. Rechem machnis. Now, what is the rechem, the womb of the isha? What is it that enters the womb of the isha? Says Rashi, hazera. It is the zera from the husband. When the mekayim the mitzvah together, that zera enters the womb. And what is it that the rechem is moitzi? Umoitzi havlad. Vlad is the fetus. So the incoming, what enters the rechem is the zera. What's outgoing of the rechem is the vlad. So you see that the purpose of the rechem is not to be a machnis or a moitzi, but rather both. Machnis the zera, moitzi the vlad. So what about the sho'el, the kever? What does it mean, a kever is machnis umoitzi? I understand that a kever is machnis. You put the dead body in the grave. But once the dead body enters the grave, that's machnis. What is the kever moitzi? So the obvious answer, this can only be a reference to tchias amesim. Even though the guf, the dead body, initially enters the grave, but eventually the dead body is taken out of the grave. So therefore, it turns out that by virtue of the fact that we're comparing the grave to the womb, we are in fact alluding to the fact that there is Tchiya Samhisim. Because if not, then we have no understanding what is the grave Moitzi. So look back into the Gemara. The Chima Inyan Sha'oil. What has the grave got to do with Eitzel Rechem, the womb? Ma Rechem Sheh. Eloloi Melacha Ma Rechem Machnis Umoitzi. Just like the Rechem is Machnis, the Zera, Moitzi, the Vlad. Af Sha'oil Machnis Umoitzi. So to the grave, on the one hand, is Machnis. What does that mean? The dead body. Umoitzi, the live body at Tchias HaMesim. V'haloi, and surely, in fact, Dvarim Kal V'chayma. We can even basically work this out on the basis of logic. Why? Umar Rechem Shemachnisim Boi B'chashoi. The Rechem, when it's Machnis, we said that it's Machnis the Zera. It is Machnis B'chashoi. What does b'chashoi mean? B'chashoi means in silence. When Zera enters the rechem of the wife, it enters with no noise. It is a silent activity. But moitzien mimenu, but when the rechem is moitzi, what's it moitzi? The vlad, meaning childbirth. That is definitely not silent. That is b'koilei koilois. What does that mean? B'koile koilois, with a lot of noise, whether on the part of the woman delivering the baby or whether on the part of the baby itself. Either way, unlike when the rechem is machnis, which is done in silence, when it's moitzi, is done b'koile koilois amidst much noise. So sha'oil, the grave, shemachnisin boi b'koile koilois. When the grave is machnis, what is it machnis? The dead body. Now that's not done in silence. When a dead body is lowered into the grave, as Rashi says, shemachnisim boi b'koile koileis, Rashi says, shel bechi u'mispeid, of crying and of eulogy. So therefore, einoi din, does logic not dictate, shemoitzien mimenu b'koile koileis. So for certainly Kal V'chomer, if the Rechem is Machnis quietly, and yet it's Moitzi amidst a lot of noise, so the grave, which even is Machnis amidst a lot of noise, then certainly when it's Moitzi, what does that mean, Moitzi? Tchias HaMesim, then you can well imagine that will also be amongst a lot of noise, a lot of fanfare. Mikan Tshuva, so from here we see the retort, La'oimrim, to those who claim ein tchias hamesim in ha-Torah. There are those who want to claim that tchias hamesim is not mentioned in the Torah. There are, in fact, many, many places where it is alluded to, and this is one of them. How so? By virtue of the fact that we're comparing the sha'ol to the rechem, the grave to the rechem, both are machnis, both are moitzi, and the moitzi part of it is done b'koile koileis, which means it will be a tremendous excitement, just like childbirth is. So similar, it will be the inyan of tchias hamesim. There is, by the way, a huge discussion. That's not our discussion for the moment, but I'll just point out the question. It is true that tchias hamesim is hinted to, not more than that, is hinted to in various places in the Torah. It's quite interesting, our Gemara says that this is a retort against those people who say that Tchias HaMesim is not mentioned in the Torah. To be perfectly honest, even this remez is also not in the Torah. It's in the Pasuk in Mishlei. But either way, it is a very big discussion already in the Rishonim. It's a discussion in the Rishonim. And that is why indeed is the whole inyan of Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba, why is none of that mentioned in the Torah? After all, one of the yesodos of our emunah is that there is, as it's called, life after life. There is Olam Haba and there'll be Tchias HaMesim. So why is that none of that not mentioned in the Torah? At best, we have some remozim, we have hints, like the one we just saw, which I think we all agree is a very, very cryptic remez. By comparing the grave to the rechem, it's not even in the Torah, it's in the Novi. So there is a big discussion. Again, I don't want to launch into the whole discussion, but it is a big discussion amongst the Rishonim. I think if you look in Parshas Bechukosai, the Kliyoko gives, I think, 10 answers to this question. But the bottom line is, it is not mentioned clearly in the Torah, Olam Haba, or Tchiyas HaMeisim. Okay, let's continue the Gemara. Tana Reb Oishia Kamei de Rava. Reb Oishia learned the following in front of Rava. Uchasavtom. Uchasavtom, of course, is written in the parasha of Kriya Shema, which is what we have been discussing for the past weeks. Uchasavtom hakoil b'chsav afilu tzavois. What does that mean? It's a question that we have to stop and ask ourselves, because maybe we don't ask ourselves, but this Gemara is addressing it. There is a mitzvah in our Torah to put a mezuzah up on your door. But what are you supposed to write in that mezuzah? The Torah does not clearly spell out what it is that you're supposed to be writing in the mezuzah. It just says, Uchasavtom al mezuzahis beisecha uvishorecha. You should write them, but what should you write? So here comes the answer. We're learning from the word Uchasavtom. There is a drosha. Look at Rashi. Uchasavtom, literal translation of Uchasavtom is you, plural, should write. Uchasavtom and you, plural, shall write. Now we have to remember, not all of the Torah is written in the plural form. A lot of mitzvahs are written in the singular form. So if we have here a pasuk which is written in the plural form, then it could well be that there is room for discussion for a drosha. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Uchasavtom, shetehei ksiva tamo, ushleima, full and complete and perfect. The way that we're reading the Gemara, Uchasavtom, is Ukosav Tom. Tom from the word Tomim. Like Noyach was an Ish Tzadik Tomim. Tomim means perfect or complete. Rather than reading it Uchasav Tom as in one word, the Drosha reads it almost as two words. Ukosav Tom. You shall write. What shall you write? You shall write Tom. All of it complete, which means everything written in the parasha of mezuzah is in fact exactly what's supposed to be written in the mezuzah. So right from the beginning, the whole of Shema, etc., etc., you would have thought, what's that got to do with mezuzah? No. Uchasav Tom, says the Gemara, Uchasav Tom hakoil bichsav. Everything has to be written afilu tzavois. What does it mean, afilu tzavois? Even the instruction to write is part and parcel of what has to actually be written in the mezuzah. A very interesting halacha. When you're reading the Torah, and the Torah says, Uchasavtom, and you shall write. So you would expect that what is the mitzvah? You have to write the following. But I don't have to write the word Uchasavtom, because that is the instruction. That's not the content of what's supposed to be written. Here the Gemara is telling us that no, you've got to write in the mezuzah even the actual instruction to write. How do you know? Because the word Uchasavtom, we make a drosha, v'kosav tom. It's got to be complete. Everything written in that parasha has to indeed be written, even the instructional part, not just the part that you would think is the content of the mezuzah. That's what it means, afilu tzavois, from the word tzav, even the instruction. There is a very famous story with the Rosh Bezdin in London, Darren Airntroy, the news of Rafua Shalema. But he once said in public that when he was sitting in the London Bezdin, a woman, an irreligious woman, came to him with her mezuzahs that she'd taken down from her front door and all in her house. And she said, Rabbi, I heard that there is a halachic requirement every so often to check your mezuzahs. So I've taken them all down. I'd like you to check them. So he opened up the box, and in all of them, there was no parchment. There was no cloth. They were all empty boxes. So he asked her, one second, he knew that she was religious, but something was very strange over here. He said to her, when you bought them, wasn't there like a piece of paper inside the box? And she said, oh, that, what, the instructions? Yeah, I threw those out. Apparently, a Maisa Shahoya with Darren Airntroy. She threw out the instructions. I'll call Ponigoifen, so here it is. Hakoyel b'chsav afilu tzavois, even the instruction, even the words, uchasavta. Says the Gemara Omalei. So Rava said back to Roshio, the Omalacha mani. So first let's see Rashi. Va'afilu tzavois, even the instructional part of the parasha. Sheva parasha, says Rashi, kagoin ukasharetem v'chasavtem, all of that, sorech lichtoiv b'tfilin u'mezuzois. This is, of course, the parasha which is pertaining both to tfilin and mezuzois. Ukasharetem lois al yodecho. Now, I would have thought, ukasharetem lois al yodecho, that's the instruction to put the tfilin on the hand and on the head. But who says you have to write that in the tfilin? That's what I'm learning from the word uchasavtom v'kosavtom. Look at the next Rashi. Da'omar l'cha mani. Mani always means, who is that? Who is that who authored the statement? Says Rashi, ha de itztrich le'kra. Who is it that requires a posuk l'rabois to include tzavois lichsiva? You're telling me that I learn from the word uchasavtom that you've got to write everything in the parasha, even the instructions. Now, obviously, we only learn from a posuk that which is not obvious without the posuk. But if I would have known it already without the posuk, then obviously I don't need a posuk to teach it to me. So clearly, there is somebody who is understanding that I need a posuk to teach me that you've got to write the instructional part of the tefillin and mezuzahs in the tefillin and mezuzahs. Apparently that's a big chiddush, and I would not have known it otherwise. Why is that? Who is that talking? Who is the one who holds that that is a chiddush? Says the Gemara, back into the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, he... It is Rabbi Yehuda. The Omar, because he told us with regard to Soita, Gabe Soita. What's the common denominator between Tfilin, Mezuzos, and Soita? The obvious common denominator is that Soita also requires writing down a parasha. As we well know, and that's the parasha that's put into the water, etc., etc. So once again, the discussion arises with regard to the Isha Soita. You've got to write the parasha. What does that mean? What exactly, which part of the parasha do you have to write? So the Gemara makes a drosha. With regard to Soito, Olois Koisev. What does Olois mean? Olo is the curse. Those parts of the parasha which pertain to the curse, meaning the terrible punishment that can befall the Isha Soito, that's what you've got to write. But Tzavois Einoi Koisev. But the Tzavois, the instruction part of it, you don't need to write in the parasha. You only need to write the part that talks about the punishment. Look immediately at Rashi, towards the end of the narrow lines. Rabbi Yehuda, he, the Shaminon, because we have heard from Rabbi Yehuda, Gabe Ksivas Parshash Soito. With regard to the writing of the parasha of Soito, Mishum Deloi Ksiv Bey. There it is not written, ukasavtam, quote unquote. It does not say in the parasha of Soita, ukasavtam. Remember that magic word, ukasavtam, tom meaning tomim, that's the word that teaches us that what? That you've got to write the complete parasha, everything. But it doesn't say that with regard to Soita. Ella, what does it say? Vekosav, quote unquote. The big difference between Vekosav and Vekosavtem, besides for the literal translation, is whether or not you have the drasha of, do you have this drasha of Tom? Tom means the complete parasha. So do you have a drasha that teaches us you have to write the complete parasha? And the answer is that with regard to Soita, you do not have that drasha because it does not say Ukasav Tom. Rather, it says Vekosav. Says Rashi, D'omar, that's where we say Olois in, comma, Tzavois Loi. So if you don't have to write the entire parasha, because it doesn't say Vekosavtem, so what do you have to write? And the answer is, yes, you have to write the Olois, the punishment part of the parasha. But Tzavois Loi, you do not have to write anything about the instructions. Kagoin, Vihishbia, Oiso HaKoyen. The part that talks about where the Koyen makes her take an oath. And then it says, V'omar HaKoyen, all of that, what the Koyen actually does and instructs her, that does not need to be written. You only have to write the consequences of all of that, which is the punishment. The Tanam, because we have a Mishnah in Soita, and it says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Atzmoi, all of it. What does that mean, all of it? All of the parasha, Einoi Kosev. You do not need to write the whole thing. Elo, the pasuk that says, Yitein Hashem Oisoch La'olo Ulashvua. You'll end up taking an oath and then being punished accordingly. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's the only part that you need to write. So if Rabbi Yehuda teaches us with regard to Soita, that you don't need to write the entire parasha, so now we understand that's why Rabbi Yehuda had to point out that what? That with regard to Kriya Shema, that is not the case. With regard to Kriya Shema, it says Ukasav Tom, so you do have to write the whole parasha, which means even the instructional part. So when the Gemara said, who is the one who authored this statement? In other words, who is the one who considers this a chidush? The answer is, it is Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda is the one who told us that Soita, you do not need to write the whole parasha. So he needs to make that distinction and tell us that with regard to Kriya Shema, however, you do need to write the whole parasha. Now we understand why it's a chidush, because it's completely different to Soita. So look back into the Gemara. Who was that? The Gemara says, it's Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar Gabba Soita, Olois, Koisei, but Savois, Einoi Koisei. And why is that? V'hosam, over there, the reason why you do not have to write the whole parasha is because who dechsev, what does it say? V'kosav. Es ha Olois ha Eile. You must write these punishments. So what do you write? Just the punishment. Doesn't say Ukasav Tom. Avol Hocha, but over here, Dichsev, over here, what is it written? Ukasav Tom. Ukasav Tom means you've got to write absolutely everything. Afilu Savois Nami. Even the instructional part, every part of the parashah from beginning to end has to be written. Says the Gemara, one moment. Otu, but surely, Tamei de Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum de Ksiv, Vekosav. Is the reason why Rabbi Yehuda makes that distinction, is the reason why in the case of Soita, you don't need to write the whole parasha because of the word Vekosav? If Rabbi Yehuda is darshaning the word Vekosav, so then I understand and appreciate that the distinction he's making is over there it's written the kosav, and over here it's written ukasav tem. But says the Gemara, I'm sorry to tell you, the kosav is not the word that he learns from. Rather, Tamed Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Deksiv Vekosav? Question mark. Is the reason why Rabbi Yehuda maintains that you don't need to write the whole parasha, is it because the word Vekosav is written? And that's why you're telling me that Vekosav Tom is different? Surely that's not the reason. Tamed Rabbi Yehuda, the real reason behind Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is Mishum Deksiv Olois. In the previous line, we quoted the pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'kosav es ha'olois ha'ele." What does that mean? V'kosav es ha'olois ha'ele. You must write the punishments. So the Torah clearly tells you what it is that you must write. Forget the word v'kosav. The Torah continues and spells out for us exactly what it is you're supposed to be writing. What is it? The olos. So that's obviously why we have a drasha, and it says olos in savois loy question mark. Remember, we began this discussion by saying that strangely enough, when the Torah says uchasavtom, you're supposed to write, it doesn't tell us what you're supposed to write. It doesn't say ukasavtem the following words, it just says write them. What am I supposed to write? Says the Gemara, well, it's the most obvious thing in the world. If the Torah doesn't tell you what you're supposed to write, then the obvious and automatic assumption is you're supposed to write everything. What will you tell me? No, because Saita is very different. Well, of course it's different, because Saita, the Torah, does tell you what to write. What does it say in the Torah? The kosav es ha'olos. You're supposed to be writing about the punishment. So therefore, we're back to square one. Why are you pointing out to me? Why are you announcing as if it's a tremendous chiddush that you know what? Shema, you've got to write the whole parasha. Of course you've got to write the whole parasha, because the Torah doesn't tell you what you're supposed to write. So obviously it must mean you write everything. If I would be learning in the parasha of Saita from the word v'kosav, so then I understand you're making that distinction. There's a difference between v'kosav that's written with regard to Saita and v'kosav tem that's written with regard to Kriya Shema. But we're not learning from the word v'kosav. We're learning because the Torah spells out black on white what it is you're supposed to be writing in Saita. What is that? The olos. And in Kriya Shema, it does not tell you what to write. So obviously it means you write everything. So what's the chiddush? Isn't it the most obvious thing in the world? Says the Gemara, no. Sal kadata chamina, because I would have thought at the end of the day, neilaf, I would learn out, ksiva, ksiva mehosam. If in the parasha of Saita it says you're supposed to be writing, and in the parasha of mezuzahs, it says you're supposed to be writing, I would have compared. And what would I have said? I might well have thought, ma hosam olois in tzavois loy. Just like over there, you only write about the punishment, but not the entire parasha, not the instructional part. So I would have thought too, that afhocha here also, nami tzavois loy. Maybe here too also, you don't need to write the instructional part. That's why Kosav Rachmana, that's why the Torah had to tell me, Uka Savtem, quote unquote, to teach me Afilu Tzavois. So yes, is it a chiddush? Is it a chiddush that in the case of Shema, you've got to write the whole parasha? Isn't it obvious? The answer is no. It's not so obvious, because I would have compared it to the Ksiva of Saita, and I would have said, just like the Ksiva of Saita, you do not need to write the whole parasha. Maybe the same would hold true for mezuzahs. You don't need to write the whole parasha. Kumash malon. That's why I learned from the word ukasav tom Tom, meaning complete, but yes, you do need to write the entire parasha. Okay, we'll hold it over here. Be'ezus Hashem, the Gemara in the next few lines is definitely not a difficult sugya. We will move to the bottom of the Amud tomorrow, and then Be'ezus Hashem to the top of the next Amud as well.
Shakar.
All the best, everybody.
Have a good day.
And see you.